I'm Shannon. Wait, I'm not
Shannon.
I'm already drunk.
Suce un sac de bite.
David.
Oh, look at the green wave.
I know. We should mute that. David. David. It's the only thing I can do properly. And baby.
The baby.
The baby.
The baby.
Where's the baby's chamber? Trying to do the lip thing. You guys, speaking like Moira Rose is impossible. Catherine O'Hara is a genius. Did I tell you that she and Eugene Levy are doing the new O Canada video? Did we talk about that?
I believe we had this exact conversation in the last episode.
Schitt's Creek is so good. I stopped listening to our old episodes, which it was a mistake because I can, like, when we record, it's like a fever dream, and I don't remember what I've said. So I definitely should re-listen. That's what I used to do. But now I'm like, God damn, I'm obnoxious. I don't want to listen to me talk.
Catherine likes hearing us on the radio. She thinks we're super famous and fancy.
She hates me.
Well, she needs to take ownership for her actions. She did something wrong tonight. She needed to admit it and apologize.
She was mad because she had to admit it and apologize to me. And therefore, it was my fault. I was the bad guy.
It's your fault for making her have feelings.
It's my fault for making her have feelings. Guilt that she didn't want to have.
My 50-pack of Yoda stickers came in.
Baby Yoda!
Catherine promptly picked out one, took it off the backing, and stuck it on her t-shirt. And I flipped out.
Yeah. Because there are limited stickers. They're not repeats. These are for putting on things like your laptop.
Yeah, these aren't trash stickers.
These aren't stickers for your t-shirt stickers.
Or like your color book.
They're for putting on
things permanently. Forever. That you can always stare at.
There you can always have your Baby Yoda on.
Not wasted on a t-shirt.
It's not a t-shirt.
Like it's a goddamn name tag.
It's not a name tag sticker. It's not a My Little Pony sticker that you have a million of.
So she goes away, comes back a while later, and Maggie has picked out two stickers and they're on the table.
Next to my purse.
And the next thing we both know, Catherine holds up a Baby Yoda stuck to a bright orange post-it note.
I've been having a real hard time with life lately, and I looked like I was about to cry.
You did.
Like, no, my Baby Yoda.
All I wanted in life was a Baby Yoda sticker, and you put my sticker, you little fuck, on a post-it note.
Now I have no
the
Yoda.
The literal fuck.
Now I have no Yodas.
Pretty sure I also said that myself to my daughter. What the literal fuck.
What did you do?
Well, good thing, I guess, is you can pin that to a cork board somewhere.
I can put that on something.
It's mobile. You should put a stick on it, and now you have Yoda on a stick.
It's so strange, because I don't understand them. They think that everything belongs to them, but if, like, you did that to her...
Oh, she flipped the fuck out.
She would be furious. And, like, also trying to explain that to her, she would not see it.
Yeah.
How would you feel if I went up to your sticker and took one without asking? Yeah.
Would be the toddler response.
Right. She's a kid now.
I know. She's a full-blown kid.
Yeah.
She'll be 6 in 4 months.
That's wild. That's wild.
Yes.
I know. Miss Zelda Bean is going to be 2. She, Zelda called me tonight and was excited to see Catherine. Did not want to talk to me anymore.
As soon as she saw Catherine, she literally was like, Aunt Maggie, who?
Right. Yeah.
Who dat bitch?
And then when they were like, okay, well, Zelda, it's time to say night-night, she lost.
Flipped the fuck out.
Cried. and I lost connection with them and just hung up. And Joseph said that she was going, Gopherin, Gopherin, which is clearly Catherine, which I love. Gopherin.
We should go visit.
Zelda would love it.
I am so tired. And I don't know if it's because there's a new family member in my house or the weather or sad or what, but I just like, I am emotionally and physically exhausted.
I mean, I am too, so maybe it's partially weather, but tell everybody about your new baby.
A fucking puppy, man.
I mean, I told you I didn't think it was a great idea. On your original Facebook post, everyone was like, yes, get the puppy. And I was like, I don't know about this.
I know we're not puppy people. Puppies are a lot of work. It's like having
a baby,
an infant, but you don't get maternity leave.
No.
And that's exactly what it is. And that's exactly how tiring it is. People aren't kidding when they say that. That's why a lot of times couples will get a puppy before they have kids. Because if they can survive raising a puppy, then they're trained to handle an infant.
Yeah.
We didn't do that. We just went straight to kid.
Right.
So now we've literally added a second kid to our family.
Why did you do such a thing?
So this is a long story, y'all, which Maggie hasn't even heard yet. So
yeah, no, Shannon walked in today and was like, I'm going to save the puppy story for the podcast. So this is my first time through.
So we've been hemming and hawing over a dog for a while. And Scott's like, no, 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 I'm not a dog person. I don't want a dog. I don't ever want a dog. We're never, ever, ever, ever getting a dog.
Why are we having this discussion then?
Because I like to push the envelope.
Because you want a dog?
I'm ambivalent. I really don't care. My daughter wants a dog, but my daughter also wants a bearded dragon, and 5 minutes later changes her mind. So, like, I don't know why we continue to bend to her will, but we do. Regardless, over Christmas break, Margot is fostering two puppies from a litter for the local animal shelter, and one is really calm and amazing, and the other is, like, hyper and chews on everything. And of course, she's like, Scott, Shannon, you know you have one. And I'm like, what do you think, honey? And he's like, meh. Well, we went over like 3 times over break to play with this dog. And Margot says, I'm taking them back to the shelter. If you want them, call them and put dibs on her and go up and fill out an application. So this is last week now. So she takes them back last Tuesday. I email them, and we go up Wednesday late afternoon. There was a whole litter of them. There was like 6 of them. I didn't realize there were that many. And they put all the puppies but Millie up on the website. So they're like, we're kind of holding her for you, but it's still first come, first serve. She's not up on the website, but if someone comes in and sees her, like, we can't stop it. Mm-hmm. Okay. We go up and we pull in, and I look at Scott. There's a puppy outside. I'm like, Scott, that looks like Millie. She's outside with another couple, and they brought their dog up to meet her.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So we stole this puppy from another family that wanted her? How dare you?
I could have stolen her if my husband had indicated at any particular level that evening that he was heartbroken and wanted this dog. Mm-hmm. Instead, he just sat there in silence. And while me and the worker lady conversed over the mishap, they thought the other couple was us.
Oh.
And she had brought Millie up to the front kennel because she knew we were on our way up to get her.
Oh.
Someone else had already heard of her, had also heard of her, and came up to see the female puppy available for adoption that wasn't on the website. So this other couple beat us by 20 minutes. And then they met her brother, Max, And we talked to them, and they just said, well, we're going to take her because she's calmer. And so I'm telling them, it's okay, it's okay. You know, it's not meant to be, it's fine. We're still going to fill out an application, though, just in case we see something else. We go in, we look at the other dogs. I see one that's interesting. We leave. Scott and Isla go to sword class. And this whole entire time, Scott's been, like, quiet. He hasn't really said anything. And as a matter of fact, when we leave, I'm kind of upset. And I'm like, I feel like when you decide to have a baby and you think you're preg, but you're not, and now you're all of a sudden upset that you're not preg, and now you're crying a little bit. So that was me, and I was like Misty saying that to him. And he was like, I'm relieved. I'm relieved the pregnancy test is negative. So I like, you know, I text that to Margo, funny, ha ha ha. At 8 o'clock at night in the middle of sword class, Scott texts me, I'm really upset they stole Millie from us. And I was like, what? What? And then the next day, on Wednesday, he goes on a tirade, a texting tirade of how angry and upset he is, how the shelter gypped us out of his dog. And I was like, honey, you know, there's all these other options. Glenn's, Margot's husband, his family raises cattle dogs. They use them on their farm. They always have puppies. We can drive, you can take the girls down to Alabama over spring break and pick out a dog for free. Yeah. No application, no nothing. Just like, take a road trip, go pick your dream dog, come back. So I give him all these other options. And he's just like, nope, I wanted that dog. I don't want any other dog. And now I'm pissed. And I'm going to leave a scathing Facebook review on their page. I'm going to lambaste them and tell them how awful they are and how unorganized they are and how they put us through the ringer and let that other couple steal our dog. And I was like, God damn it, Scott, where was this passion last night? I could have stolen the dog from them last night.
Right.
I could have been like, oh, you're here for Millie? So are we. We've been playing with her for 3 weeks while my friend fostered them. My husband's really excited to adopt her tonight. Like, I could have manipulated them and made them feel like shit for stealing our dog.
Right.
But now I can't do that because you didn't say anything to me last night. I was so upset I was seeing red and I didn't want to cause a scene in front of a sheriff. I was like, you could have just pulled me aside and been like, I want this dog, take care of it.
He could have texted you and said, like, he could have been like, I'm seeing red, I really wanted the dog.
And I could have taken care of it. I was like, Scott, I could have gone all Karen on their asses and taken care of it.
Yeah.
Like, you have to communicate to me. I will make it happen. Scott does not ask for anything in life. So when he wants something, I make it fucking happen because I get everything I want. So when he asks for something of me, I make sure it fucking happens.
Right.
So now on Wednesday, so his boss also goes up there after us and puts in an application to adopt Max.
And the brother dog.
Yeah. They also take pictures with Millie and put her name on it, their application also.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells Scott the next day on Thursday, last Thursday, oh, yeah, we're next on the list for Millie. And Scott goes, well, what? Because that was never even given to us as an option to still put her on our application. It was our understanding that that other couple was there first. They're going to put the application in and they're going to get her.
Yeah.
So I call the shelter and I raised hell. I actually ended up talking to the manager unknowingly and was like, we're very upset. We're very distraught. My husband really had his heart set on this dog. Like, I don't know what happened, but miscommunication happened. And now, like, we're out. We're out a dog and we don't know how this happened. Friday comes now.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear through a really weird, crazy grapevine that the other couple didn't take Millie. And so I call again. And I'm like, I want to make sure that we are on top of Millie's list. We heard the other couple decided not to take her. And they were like, oh my God, how'd you hear that? We didn't call you to let you know you're next. I was like, exactly. Well, you should have called us to confirm I am right now. You're the first call I made this morning. So
they took her and brought her back, or they just never even took her in the first place?
They never took her in the first place.
Oh, my God.
They brought their kids up the next day to check out the dogs, and the kids decided they liked the dog Max better.
Gotcha.
So now Millie's available and now has three families vying for her. And we're on top of the list because I called and raised hell. But now they're concerned about us because we're first-time pet owners and would be leaving her home for 10 hours a day in a crate. And that's not good for a puppy. So they have serious concerns about approving our application. Long story long, we got the call Friday afternoon from the manager. I wasn't sure if so-and-so called you this morning, so I'm calling you to make sure you got the message, which they hadn't called.
Right.
That you've been approved to adopt Millie. When can you come get her? After all that, I'm like, Scott, say hello to your
Puppy.
New dog.
To your puppy.
Would you like to make a comment on your puppy, Scott?
Woof.
So the fucker does nothing but pee and poop all over my house.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why she won't use the puppy pads.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she's colorblind or something, and they blend in with the white beige tile. So she definitely has her favorite spot to pee in, though.
Did you put a puppy pad in that favorite spot to pee?
I need to. She likes to pee right here in front of the gate.
Yeah, you definitely should put a puppy
pad. So at night when we go to bed, we leave one there.
Good. That's smart.
So
smart plan.
She also cries a lot, so Scott's been sleeping with her on the couch. We also take her out every half hour, and she refuses to piss or shit outside because it's cold as balls. So literally always, every time we bring her in from outside, she always pisses. It's a hard knock puppy life right now. So Scott's taking her to Margo's during the daytime.
Margo, who had been fostering her.
Yeah, because she offered puppy daycare.
So you have your puppies in daycare?
Yes. I should probably pay her or something.
Probably. I'm sure the kids like having it, a puppy there.
Yeah, yeah. So her name's Millie. That's her government-given name. I'm not, like, enthused about it, but we can't think of anything better, so.
I still think that you should name her Millie Jean or Millie Joe and call her MJ.
Millie Jean, not my puppy.
She's just a dog that thinks that I am the one.
Oh, man. So, hashtag now taking suggestions.
Yeah. I like MJ. I like Millie Jean. I also like Millie Joe, but I think Millie Jean is funny.
Yep.
And cute. My friend's dog is named Abby Jean.
I call her AJ.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as she's puppy trained, we'll take her to more places. Jeff, my dad, watched her and Catherine on Monday. Mm-hmm. She peed everywhere but the puppy padded there as well. So sword friends want to meet her and see her, but I just can't take her to randos houses where she'll piss and poop anywhere. I can do that to my parents and Margo.
That's their grand dog.
Right. So plus they have their own shitting and peeing machine, so
yes.
Not like they're upset if accidents happen.
I love them.
I do too. I loved their engagement episode.
I know.
I
was going to say I love their first kiss.
Yeah.
When it's David's birthday. Yeah. And Patrick is like, I'm so glad you did that because I was going to really regret it if I left.
Not doing it.
Oh, it's so damn cute. They're so damn cute.
And he gets him 4 rings.
I know.
As his engagement
ring.
Oh,
it's so cute.
It's amazing.
I love it. I love them. So,
do you have a list tonight?
Yeah, I have a list.
That was a really long, cold open. That was 20 minutes.
Yeah, well, here we are. I was back in 2014 or 2015. I'm going with 2015, but I'm not even 100% sure that it wasn't 2014. I got, I know, it might have been 2014. No, I don't know, whatever. One of those 2 years. I changed my background of my phone for the last time. And it has been that ever since then. I just hadn't changed it because I really liked it. And I recently changed both of them, and it's fucking with my head. It's so weird. This is not my phone. This is another person's phone.
Right.
But I changed it to
Baby Yoda.
All of these beautiful baby Yodas. And then the background is the Mandalorian with the child in the hood thing.
You know, I have my lock screen as a picture of Catherine and I, and then my background is like a montage of her, and I almost changed it to the child also, but I couldn't bring myself to get rid of my own baby.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. So my cat drama, my pet drama is this. My cat hates going to the vet so much, he fights it so hard that he injures himself and that they have to sedate him for literally every little thing.
Which costs you money.
It costs me so much money. And he's so old now that it's dangerous. My cat's so old because once he's past 12 or 13 or something like that, like they have to be really careful about it. But he keeps fighting it, so they have to keep giving him more sedative. Every time he comes home from the vet, he like skitters across the floor like a, you know,
drunk old man.
Yeah, like Bambi on ice. It's like deeply upsetting to me. So I try not to take him to the vet unless I have to. Like, he's pushing 15. If he dies from something preventable, yeah, I'll feel bad about it.
Like they sedate him and he just never wakes up.
But that could happen too.
Yes.
Right? Like, that's where we are right now. Or, you know, like, he broke a claw previously fighting it. So, like, I just am like, yep, my cat, you know, I mean, I have many friends who got cats after I got Sid who are now dead. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, he's an old man. I'm not taking him to the fucking vet unless I have to.
Just realize that Daisy's 15 also.
Yeah.
So, like, Kyle's kitty died today. Rippers. His, like, Maine Coon kitty.
Yeah, like, that's
just
sad.
Unexpectedly, just, like, died in her sleep.
Oh, that's so sad.
I know. She was his buddy. Like, his bud.
Yeah.
Yeah, very sad.
That is tragic.
Yeah.
So, you know, Sid, like, the vet also thinks that Sid has issues with his kidneys, that he has kidney problems, which he very well might, but I can't get him to do any of the things for me to get that tested, so he might just die of kidney failure. Like, this is where we are in my cat's life. I don't, because the other thing they could do is I could take him to the vet, and they could sedate him to do all the tests. For what? For me to keep him alive a year longer?
Yeah, he's Frank right now. Yeah. He's a cranky old man.
He's a cranky old man.
Who doesn't want any interventions.
Right.
He just wants to die in his house.
Right.
Leave him the fuck alone.
That's exactly where we are. So, Sid has worms. Yeah. I know this because he vomited up and there was a little worm in it.
Oh, yeah. Usually it comes up in vomit or poo.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm convinced Maisie does not have worms, even though her belly is distended and sensitive. But, like, there's no parasites in any of her stuff.
Right. Right. No, there was so he has roundworms, and I called the vet, I called his old vet. Nobody will give me worm medication without bringing him in. And like, I'm not like calling to get Vicodin here.
Right. I'm not getting opioids. I just want roundworm medicine.
And the like,
you're not an MD. Give me some goddamn worm medicine.
Yeah, well, the second vet was like, has he been here before? And I was like, yes. And they were like, in the last year? And I was like, no. And I explained it to them. I was like, the other vet wants me to bring him in. And they were like, yeah, we legally can't give it to you unless we've seen the patient.
Sure you can. You're a vet. Not an MD.
So, yeah, they can't
run. Because there's a black market for worm medication.
I spent some.
Yeah, there probably is. You could just Google it.
I tried. I could not find. I can't find the good stuff.
You just have to go to Canada.
Seriously. I can't find the good stuff available online. And the liquid dewormer, a dose of that is like 5 milliliters. It's a teaspoon. Try to fucking dose my cat a teaspoon. Jesus Christ. The good worm meds is just the stuff that goes at the nape of your neck. Yeah. Like, where you put it behind, like, mm-hmm. That I can do to him all day long. He would never, you know, like, that would be what he'll just, like, if I do it, because I've done, you know, I've given him meds where you put it at the back of their neck, and he'll just sort of like look at me like, bitch, what do you do? Mm-hmm. You know, but he like doesn't care. He's just like, excuse me?
Right.
So I just am so frustrated that worm medication is not something you can just call in. That should be a thing that you can just call in.
Like anti-worm medicine you can get at the store.
But not the good stuff.
Right.
The liquid dewormer that you can get at the store is the kind where you have to give the cat 5 milliliters. You can't get the like the fancy one that goes at the back of their nape of their neck. So anyway, I'm frustrated because Jesus Christ.
Worms.
Ugh. You're not a goddamn MD. Who's going to scam you for worm meds?
Right? Like, calm down.
I have a lot of stuff to talk about for shows and whatnot. So I told Shannon that she has to watch AJ and the Queen. It's RuPaul is the queen.
The queen.
And AJ is a child.
A stowaway. 10-year-old.
Yep. And
who goes cross country with the queen. Isn't that like kidnapping?
No, because Ruby Red is what
Ruby Rod
is what RuPaul goes by in this. Yes. And the kid's like basically says, if you don't take me to Texas to see my grandpa, I'm going to tell that you diddled me. Like I'm gonna,
like, so like god damn it.
Right. Yep.
Hashtag me too.
Right. So it's quite enjoyable. It's a fun little romp. Although the like more emotional scenes I think Rue does a better job at, the like just plain ones, I'm like, excuse me, Rue, where are you? And also we haven't seen Rue perform in a really long time. So there's like a lot of drag performances of Rue lip syncing and stuff, which is just like, what a delight.
Yes.
She does Chandelier from Sia.
Ooh.
It's so good.
Nice.
It's real fun. And she does like the best little whorehouse in Texas. Like just classic shit. So it's campy. It's weird. I honestly wish that they'd gone less serious. I wish they'd turned up the camp even more, you know, like made it campier than it even is. And every city that they're in, because they're doing a cross country road, every city that they're in, the drag queens are all Rue girls.
Nice.
You know, so in New York, we have Bianca Del Rio and
the queens from those cities.
No. Because in Pittsburgh, they had Jinx Monsoon, and Jinx Monsoon is from
Orlando.
Seattle.
Right? Oh, Seattle, yeah.
Seattle.
Sorry, you're right.
But they just like, you know, and they give them different names. The only person who doesn't is Porkchop. They're like, leave Porkchop alone, which is hilarious. Victoria Porkchop Parker. So, yeah, it's campy and cute and weird and sometimes makes no sense. And I've been really enjoying it.
Nice.
Yeah. Chad Michaels is on it and does a, you know, killer Cher impersonation.
Cher.
Yeah. Does Waterloo. Does a performance of Waterloo.
Oh, yeah. She just did all those ABBA songs when she was in
that movie, Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia 2.
Here we go again. So, yeah, it's really fun. It's really, really fun.
Like the CD that's currently on heavy rotation in my car.
In your life.
Which I need to, like, switch out for Blondie or something. We need to expand Catherine's rock and roll female lead horizon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some Pat Benatar and Blondie and Stevie Nicks.
There is a thing going on every week for the past month of which is ahead this week, The Mandalorian or The Witcher. Like, they are in competition. Who's winning? Who's winning the race each week?
They're doing another reprint of a massive reprint of the Witcher book because it's so popular right now.
I saw that. Yeah. I think
DeLorean comes back out next fall.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be almost a year till we get to see it again, which is a tragedy because I was like very much ready for more of the story. Did you watch The Witcher?
No, Scott wants me to. He watched it once through, and he's like, now that I know what it's about. I need to watch it again so I can follow it better.
I feel the same way. It went
back. It's like flashbacky.
It went back and forth in time. But since he's the Witcher, he doesn't age. So I did not, there were no clues about that until about the fourth episode was when I realized that was what was happening.
You're like, why does that old lady look like the young lady? Like, right. I don't understand what's going on here.
Right. Or like, didn't she just die?
Right.
That literally happened to me.
I think that exact same thing happened to Scott. I thought she died.
Yeah.
Why is she still here?
This must be in the past. That, I mean... Yeah. And then I was like, oh my God, all of this has been time, like that, at that moment when I realized that, I was like, all of this has been time jumping. Jesus Christ. So now I need to rewatch. I agree. I need to rewatch it. But last week was finals. And so I spent, and then there was a snowstorm over the weekend. So I spent all weekend in bed binging stuff. I binged so many things. I've watched so many things. That's why my list on what to watch is so long right now.
We binged Good Place with Isla.
Oh, I love that.
She watched like the one episode with us last week. And then I was like, you need to see it from the beginning.
Yeah.
And we plowed through that, man.
It's so good. So that was also on my list to talk about, The Good Place. I had a hypothesis and it was already blown out of the water. So my friend Danielle asked me to make a prediction. And we all know that Kristen Bell said that the ending is going to be bittersweet, that it's going to be a gut punch. A bittersweet gut punch. So knowing that, I'm like, okay, so what I think is going to happen is that at the end, they're going to be stuck doing their trials, and we don't know when they're going to see each other again. That was my prediction before the most recent episode. That's how it was going to end. They were going to be stuck doing their trials, and we never knew when they were going to get to see each other next. Because mm-hmm. that would be bittersweet.
Yeah.
Like, they saved all of humanity, right? But, like, we don't know when they're going to get to be together again.
Right. Because their trials are individual. They're not guaranteed to go through them together.
Right. But at the end of the most recent episode,
they all got in a fucking balloon.
To go to heaven. They go to the good place. Mm-hmm. So here's my new prediction. They are actually going to trials. They're not going to the good place. Because they aren't supposed to know. Like, they were like, we can't do this to you because you know that you are the ones who helped design it. So you would know about the trials. So their trials are fake trials. They're not really going to heaven. So that's one prediction. The other prediction is that the good place is just fucking terrible. Because we know that the people from the good place are just inept idiots.
They're too polite. I'm wondering, though, now that more normal people are infiltrating the good place, if it'll become a little bit better.
Yeah.
Because Mr. Rogers didn't even make it to the good place.
I know. Isn't that tragic?
He was on Chidi's board. Like, Chidi had that board of, like, well, these are no-brainers. These people are going in the first run.
Yep, he would be on my board,
too. Like, who? Susan B. Anthony.
Yes. Who else? Who would be on your board for...
I don't know. Probably just all the famous people that we know and love throughout history. I mean, Hitler is definitely in the bad place.
Okay.
So, like, Anne Frank should be in the good place. She probably isn't. Because, you know.
because everybody went to the bad
place.
But, yeah, Anne Frank would be a good one. I think a lot of people who were...
I mean, Chidi was reading Oscar Schindler's book.
That's really funny.
That was funny.
Yeah, no, definitely Fred Rogers would be on mine for easy...
I think it would be interesting just because I know she was really a piece of shit. Like Mother Teresa.
What
would her test be?
Interesting.
And would she really end up in the bad place?
Interesting. Yeah, but we're talking about the list of who we think is going to slide right through.
Oh.
So, Bob Ross.
Definitely.
Carl Sagan. Right? Scientific mind, brilliant man, cared about the universe. Jonas Salk. Yeah. Jonas Salk, which would be on mine.
What's his face is dead? The physicist. In the wheelchair.
Yep. Stephen Hawking.
Billion, 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 billion particles in the universe.
Yeah. Marie Curie, yeah. Right? So I would want some, like, scientifically minded people who cared to, like, do things to better the world.
Do you think they should do them and around the same time that they lived? Because wouldn't it be weird if, like, Thomas Jefferson and Anne Frank were in, like, the same Good Place neighborhood?
That would be odd.
So they do you think they should group them by, like...
By when they died.
Like, generation?
Interesting.
That would make a little more sense.
Proposal.
So then, like, Mr. Rogers and Anne Frank and Martin Luther King Jr. would be in the same neighborhood. I'll have tea with those three, please.
Yeah, seriously. That would be an amazing... That would be an amazing tea.
And Betty White, of course, once she makes it there.
Yeah, let's put all of the Golden Girls. Like, the Golden Girls would all fly through. They were all, you know, Bea Arthur, she gets to go. She would be on my easy list. Florence Nightingale, right?
Yeah.
She would be up there, did good stuff. So, yeah, that would be a fun thing to be, like, okay, who do I think is going to pass easily? Jason's list was so funny.
They're all trash bags.
The Kool-Aid Man was on there.
Kool-Aid Man. And himself.
And he was like, Jason. And he goes, yeah, me. Because he was trying to interrupt.
And people who weren't dead yet.
Yep.
Like Fred Durst.
Yep. That was very funny. That was very, very funny.
Anyway. Yeah, I don't know. I'm dubious.
Why?
I was kind of surprised they took him to the Good Place. I'm dubious and waiting for the next shoe to drop. So
right. What's your guess about what the shoe is?
I don't know.
That's what I love about
the
show.
I said it's a fucking dream, which would piss everyone off.
But I said they wouldn't do that. Yeah. What's his face is
we'll
too
see.
Smart. Michael Schur is too smart.
We'll see.
It's too smart of a show.
Has never stopped showrunners from making bad decisions before.
Michael Schur would not do that to us. Come on. The guy who brought us The Office and Parks and Rec, he's going to make it all be a dream. I don't believe that would happen.
We'll see.
Did you read a spoiler? You sound like you know something.
No, I did not read a spoiler.
You sound like you know something.
No, I don't know anything. Okay. I just remember how pissed I still am about Bobby Ewing dying and it being all a dream.
Yeah.
So, why not? Why not fuck with my next favorite TV show and make it all a dream?
He's not going to do that. I have faith that would not happen. That would not happen. Somebody on Reddit was talking about, like, what show has, like, the most foreshadowing. And this person said The Good Place. And I was like, are you fucking serious? I can never guess what's going to happen in the next episode. Never. I never know what's going to happen next.
You never know it's foreshadowing until you go back and watch it, rewatch it.
Yeah.
It's just really smart writing.
It's such smart writing.
Because they don't even foreshadow themselves. They just interweave.
Right.
And do, like, killer throwbacks.
Right. Like, Disco Janet was just a joke. Disco Janet was just a joke that they put in there.
And they made her real.
And did you know that there's still pandas? Like, there's still pandas and shit from season two when Jason said,
catch that magic panda, use her powers.
Like,
I had to pause it during the party scene and show Isla. It's like, Isla, look, what is that? What's on top of the building?
But there's,
catch that magic panda, Isla.
There's been more pandas.
Yeah.
They've put more pandas in.
I was like, don't worry, Isla. We didn't get it the first time either. We had to learn that from listening to a podcast.
Yep. And then I had to rewatch the episode twice to find it. But they said there have been more pandas. He just throws little pandas in there here and there.
I believe it.
I do too. Fucking need noggle, man.
Yeah.
But yes, it's the best show on television. I'm still mad that I didn't get... I didn't get my fifth season because they said on the podcast one time that would be five. They said it would be no more than five. And I was like, okay, it's going to be five. And then the next time they were like, it's four. And I was like, no, no, no. I also watched all of Batwoman. I'm a fan.
Yeah, I heard it was good.
It has terrible reviews online. Everyone hates it. I loved it.
Like, older people are enjoying it.
Yeah.
Not... I mean, Not the CW crowd, which is where it is currently housed.
Right. They're like, she's too angry. And I was like,
welcome to our world, asshole.
What the fuck, Batman, have you been watching for the last...
I'm Batman.
You kill my parents. I'm gonna...
Fucking men.
They're
angry. Killing me.
And she, to me...
Killing me.
She doesn't even seem that angry to me. Like, she just seems like...
a normal woman.
Like a normal... like a badass lesbian bitch. Like, in the best kind of way. She doesn't smile very much. That's true. Because she's a badass. A badass bitch. So, yeah. But, like, again, what the fuck, Batman, have you been watching? Batman is always, like, sullen.
Rich emo.
Rich emo bitch.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, and then I did watch the Crisis on Infinite Earths crossover.
Ooh, I heard it was awesome. Was it good?
It was so good, and I had so many feelings at the end of it.
Well, Flash dies, right? Like, he already knows that.
So, do you happen to...
You just gave me, like, wide eyes, like I shouldn't have said that.
No, you shouldn't have. You guys, if you care about this, do you know which...
I was predicted.
Do you know which CW show is ending?
Flash? No, Arrow already ended. Yeah.
Arrow sacrificed himself. That's the end of Green Arrow. Okay. Arrow sacrificed himself so that Flash... Because it turns out also Kara was supposed to die in it. But, like, she didn't know that because she... You know, Flash knew that because he fucks with time all the time.
Yeah.
So they had this, like, thing knowing that he was going to die in the Crisis of Infinite Earths. And, Barry Allen, the one who played his dad, who was the Flash from the alternate dimension, was the one who died. And then Arrow died to sacrifice himself so that Kara and Barry could live. But they also hilariously, you know that the guy who played Barry Allen's dad played the Flash in the 90s show?
Mm-hmm.
You knew this.
Yeah.
Did you guys know this? So they took a clip from the 90s show and put it in there, too.
Aww,
yeah, it was a real
fun.
It was a real cute little.
Yeah, I want to see the Infinite Earth episodes because I heard just like everyone, anyone who's anyone.
Yeah.
Is in it.
Yeah.
All the Supermans from across all timelines, all movies, all shows.
Yep.
All Wonder Womans, like everything.
Yeah. Yeah, they had. Barry Allen even talked to Ezra Miller Barry Allen. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, yeah, they tied together all of the DC in a really smart and wonderful way. What kind of upset me slash broke my heart. So they, guess what? They save the day. The Earths do not all die. I bet you're shocked.
I'm shocked.
So when they get back to Earth, they all live on the same Earth now.
Ooh, fancy.
But they also don't know the details of their own lives, and that really upsets me. Like, I don't know why that upsets me so badly. But, like, they came back to the new current Earth of the Earth that they reset, and they don't know their lives. And, like, that really gut punches me for some reason, you know? But guess what happened now that they all live on the same Earth?
They'll help each other?
Justice League!
Oh, yeah.
Justice League. It ended with Barry Allen being like, yeah, Star Labs owns this building. So, like, here we can all meet up here. And then there's the table, and it's got the Justice League logo in the center. And they've all got their logos on the backs of their chairs. And so it's setting up some good Justice League shit coming up.
WB has good DC Universe shows.
Yeah. Yeah, so there was a lot in it. There was a lot that was really good, but just that end of not knowing their lives because of being on the reset Earth, like, that just makes me, it's kind of like Chidi being like, well, that was a previous Chidi for that. She was saying Earth. Did you notice? Gonna erase the Earth. Erase the Earth. She is so funny.
I love her.
Like, how is Maya Rudolph that goddamn hilarious?
She is. That's why she makes the big bucks.
And she put so much sauce on it. She erased the earth. Like, she sauces shit so hard. I'll always make room for your sugar push. Mm-hmm. Like, she just overdoes it always.
The elephant.
And so, oh man, that was funny.
That was awesome.
Yes. My friend Danielle hated it.
Really?
Yeah.
Hilarious.
She was really mad at him
for interrupting,
for being like, I don't have a dog in this fight, little lady. When he
I'm just here as eye candy.
Like, she was furious at him for not defending.
Provide an objective view here.
Yeah, she thought she did not appreciate it or think it was funny. I was like, you're wrong.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Even Scott was like, can't he be a hitman, Timothy Olyphant? I was like, no, because she's addicted to watching Justified.
And I loved on the thing, he brought the hat. That was the hat from the show, and he brought it. Like, what a Timothy Olyphant, what a blessing.
We jumped the shark there, people.
About what?
From Infinite Earth back to...
Yeah, well, I said it was like Chidi when he was like, you know, that was why I did that. I was not on purpose, but I was making that connection. When Chidi was like, well, that version doesn't count because I don't remember it. So, like, they're in lives that they don't remember. I don't know. That just breaks my heart somehow.
Mm-hmm.
What things are they going to find out are different and not there that are going to suck?
Right.
I don't like it.
Maybe Mon-El will be able to come back.
Oh, my God, Mon-El. Well, you know who is coming back. Oh, you know what? It's a person that... No, you know. Wynn's coming back. Because he left with Mon-El.
He did? When they... I'm in season 4.
Uh-huh.
Mon-El just left.
Okay, so...
Because they poisoned the atmosphere.
So Mon-El comes back, and then the next time he leaves with Wynn.
That's interesting.
Wynn is the actor who plays him is a very famous Broadway star. So he was doing Broadway stuff. That was why they wrote him out. Oh. And he's coming back. So that's exciting.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped about that.
Cool.
Yeah, no. So Mon-El does come back.
Speaking of cool, February 6th, Brooklyn Nine-Nine comes back.
We'll be in Nolens.
I'll have to watch it on my phone Friday morning, drinking a Bloody Mary on my balcony. taking in the morning sun.
Yeah.
And the smell of last night's piss and puke.
Marvel is coming to Henry Ford. A Marvel exhibit.
Oh, yeah?
I think we should go.
We should go.
It would be really fun.
We
could do a That More Thing mini episode.
Yeah.
About the Marvel thing at the Henry Ford.
I got my Korg. Yeah. My Korg pop. Scott was like, GameStop called and said you had a pop in and it's been a week and they're going to put it into stock if you don't come get it. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. You didn't tell me, and I don't know which pop this is. I'm like, Yoda's not due until May. But it's Korg. Gamer Korg from Endgame.
Yeah, Endgame's the one where he is gaming.
Yeah, to go with Taco Hulk.
Love it.
And the dude, Thor.
Yeah. So I have two quick politics things, and I don't want to spend too long on either of them. It's time for Maggie Rants. Okay, Mitch McConnell's the fucking worst.
Yes.
And the bullshit that he's trying to pull on the impeachment trial is infuriating me, and I can't even listen to it.
Mm.
So the trial started today, and he basically went out there being like, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want to do.
Mm.
And he went out there saying, the rules are going to be the same as the Clinton rules, except for all these ones. So all of the Republicans are getting behind the tipping point being like, it's the same as the Clinton rules. But it's not. Okay,
they suck. Our politics suck.
Yes.
Suck ass.
They
suck balls.
They suck
donkey.
They suck it all.
Cancer-ridden donkey balls. Even the Democrats are sucking right now.
Although I did listen to Chuck Schumer's speech on it for a while today, and he was doing a really good job of, like, hitting home what he felt like the important points were. You know, like, this is what Mitch McConnell says. He even pointed out, like, these are the ways that it is not like the Clinton trial. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he was just really, he actually was doing a good job of, but, like, doesn't matter. Mitch McConnell's got the votes. He gets to do whatever the fuck he wants. And
they all do. They all do.
But there's, like, I'm just mad there's no checks and balances that are being respected.
Nope.
There's none.
That is correct. Because Trump doesn't respect the office. He thinks he can do whatever the fuck he wants to do. So there are zero checks and balances. No one is being held accountable because no one respects the office anymore.
But even then, like, the Republicans in the 70s turned on Nixon. They were like, bro, you cannot behave like that and you need to leave the office. But they're not, nobody's doing that now.
No.
They're all protecting him.
Because of money.
It's fucked.
Money.
And then.
And the conservative vote. You know?
Yeah, but they had to worry about that then also.
Yeah. Well, everyone but they thought. Nixon was trash back then.
Trump is worse than Nixon.
Yes. Yes.
If the Republicans just came out and were like, we're washing our hands of him, like, the people would follow.
I'd love to see another Republican nomination.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've heard rumblings of a few Republicans thinking of running against Trump in the next election.
Well, that would have to have happened, the primary, because primary season's coming up, you know? So, yes, they've talked about it, but if they haven't submitted paperwork, like, it's not going to happen because the Iowa caucus is next week, in 2 weeks. 2 weeks, February the whatever.
But what Democrats are left? Bloomberg's campaigning, but he hasn't done any debates.
Well, yeah, because he doesn't have enough support to get into the debates.
Yeah.
So we have some people who haven't dropped out yet, but we have Sanders, Warren, Buttigieg.
Buttigieg, Buddha, rocking everywhere.
Steyer, Bloomberg, Yang is still in. Biden, of course, is still in. Klobuchar.
Is that comedian? Ben, what's his face, still in?
But
I forget.
I don't know. But yeah, so those are the ones that I'm thinking of. The manufactured shit between Warren and Sanders is deeply concerning. Like, the Democrats are just destroying each other. And if I were a Republican, I would think this was fucking hilarious. Mm-hmm. I would be delighted to watch them do this to each other. It would be so goddamn funny if it wasn't, like, so fucking important. Like, stop it, you fuck faces. And actually, regarding the Sanders-Warren disagreement, I believe both of them. Mm-hmm. I believe that, without thinking, Bernie was like, yeah, I really don't think a woman could win against Donald Trump. I think that he said it, just being like, thinking about it, and didn't think how he was directly, like, saying that to Elizabeth Warren.
Right.
Because men fucking do that to women all the goddamn time without realizing it.
Yes.
And I also don't think he doesn't think that a woman can win ever. I think he was thinking about this specific one. So that's my hypothesis. Someone happened with that. And then fucking yesterday, Hillary Clinton comes out and says, no one likes Bernie Sanders.
Go home, Hillary. Go
like,
home.
What the fuck is she trying to do?
Bernie should be our president right now. And if the Democrats hadn't fucked him over, he'd be president right now. Like, literally.
So, I just...
There are more millennials than boomers at this point.
Yes.
And combined with Gen X? Come on now.
You know, people keep on telling me that I'm going to get, like, more conservative as I get older, and I just keep on being like, I'm going to be speaking in rock and grass languages and eating the wealthy. Like, I just keep on getting more and more left wing the older I get. I was more conservative when I was younger.
Yeah, I agree.
So, like, you know, I've gone from, you know, affordable health care might be nice to, like, let's eat the rich. I know I'm a vegetarian, but I would eat the wealthy.
With a nice Chianti.
Yeah. Yeah. Fava beans.
New Orleans is in like 2 weeks.
Jesus Christ, I cannot wait. I'm so excited.
We booked all our tickets.
We're
doing all the things.
I need to give you more money for the tickets.
I
told my dad all about it. He was actually nice to me for once, being like, that does sound great.
Yeah. We're doing a Mardi Gras world tour of the floats. We're doing a cemetery tour, which is where Marie Laveau's
crypt is.
So if Kelly doesn't make it, we'll take pictures of that.
We'll probably take pictures of it anyway.
Yeah.
And then we are going on the Spirits Tour.
Yes.
Which is a ghost story pub crawl.
Yes. I was on Airbnb checking our listing, and they suggest activities for you. And it was like spirit pub crawl. And, it, you know, the computer must have been spying on me, because it was right when you were like, cemetery tour. This popped up. So this guy does pub crawls in the French Quarter, but he tells like historic stories along the way about the buildings we walk past and the area. And then he takes us to like hipster bars where we have fancy drinks. And like he has deals with all the bartenders, but he knows all the bartenders.
Right.
So they do like, you know, specialty drinks for us. So it sounds a lot of fun. It actually sounds like we have a Kyle for New Orleans. I should message Kyle and be like, you need to do this in Ann Arbor. Put yourself on Airbnb and earn some cash.
He would be good at that.
So are you looking at the Harry Potter flatware at Target?
Yes.
Been all over Facebook.
It has been all over Facebook, and I hadn't stopped to look at the Ravenclaw one yet. Nice. So that was why I was like,
"I would buy that. That's just pretty."
It is pretty,
and I do like crows.
Are you a Raven? Like, are you a Ravenclaw?
No, I'm probably Gryffindor.
I think you're a Gryffindor too.
Yeah, but I do like a crow as my spirit animal. I feel like the crow is my spirit animal for some reason.
Uh huh. Your Patronus, if you will.
Yeah, possibly.
Your Patronus.
That was a nice pattern.
I like that pattern, too. Yeah, no, I fully think you're a Gryffindor, too. You're very brave.
And protective.
Protective.
Loyal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You'll jump right into shit. You'll be like, yep, let's go do it. Like, that impulsiveness, that's very Gryffindor.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm impulsive, too, but, like, I'm definitely a Ravenclaw. Here's the thing, though. As an adult, I'm probably a Hufflepuff. Like, the Hufflepuffs are right next to the kitchen. They get all extra snacks and shit. I'm like, fuck yes, Hufflepuff. However, you are sorted at 11. And at 11, I would have cared much more about being with the smart kids.
Right.
Like, when I was sorted at 11, I would have wanted to, like, I would have loved to be in a place where people valued intelligence. I used to actually do the stupid thing in my tween and teen years of pretending to be dumb so that I didn't intimidate the boys. And people actually made fun of me for being smart.
Yep.
So I pretended not to be as smart as I was.
That's why I didn't go into honors classes in elementary school, because I didn't want to be a dork.
Yeah. Yeah. I just didn't want to. I didn't mind being a dork. I would have, but I just didn't want to be made fun of for it.
No. When I got to high school, it was cool to be smart.
Yeah. So. No. People still made fun of me in high school.
Well, you come from the boondocks.
Yes.
Of Washtenaw County.
Dexter. So. Yeah. No, I just lied about it. Like, people knew I was smart. Obviously, they did. But, like, you know, people would be like, "Oh my God, I did terribly on that test." And I'd be like, "Ooh, me too." Looking at my paper with my 98%. With my 98%. Ooh, yeah, I sucked at that real bad.
Get for number 5.
Yeah. Yep.
Anywho.
Gonna raise the earth.
Gonna raise the
earth. Earth.
I love that Disco Janet turned into
a tiny disco ball. I died. I screamed. Died, I was having a delighted time.
I loved it.
It was so good.
Yes.
It was so, so good.
Yes. It's perfect.
You listened to the podcast for this week?
No, I haven't listened to any of them.
So Tia Sirkar thought she was done because they were like, all right, we're going to wrap you for the season when she turned into goo. So she thought she was never coming back.
Oh, Vicky.
Yeah. And, oh, man, this is the best scene in the show. Can we just pause it? We should just pause it. Okay. We should just pause it so that as soon as we wrap up the episode, we can watch this because this is so good. Okay, it's paused. You guys, it's the scene where Patrick sings to David.
Catherine O'Hara cries for real while he's singing this.
Oh, it's so goddamn adorable.
Yeah.
Okay, so what were we saying? Oh, so Tia Sirkar thought she wasn't coming back. Like, she thought she was done. They were like, okay, we're going to wrap you for the season, which she knew meant for the rest of the thing. So she was so excited
when they called her
to come back again.
I did like Vicky. I always liked Vicky.
When I was watching it, I was like, is it terrible that I super want Vicky to succeed right now? And then she did, and I was like, yes, that was exactly how I wanted that to go down. Like, I knew she was going to get it, and that was exactly how I wanted that to be. Oh, it was so good. I want any of your dingleberry stank on me. Mm-hmm. Ah, she's good. And those shoes were killer.
We need to dance fight. No, we're not.
Like West Side Story. I just really love her. Oh, she was so good the whole way through. You know, she did a voice on Star Wars Rebels.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. She's one of the main characters. She's a Mandalorian. But she doesn't wear her... She's from the planet of Mandalore, and she doesn't wear her helmet all the time. She's not like the Mandalorian on the show where he is part of the, like, creed. Mm-hmm. You know, she just is from...
Mandalore.
Is from Mandalore. Her family is one of the Mandalorian families, and she actually has the darksaber in her... She has the darksaber for a while.
Ooh.
Yeah, so, like, she's the second to last person we know who has it before...
What's his face gets it?
Moff...
Yeah.
Whatever.
Moff Windu.
Gideon. Moff Gideon?
Yeah, it is. It is Moff Gideon. Yeah.
Boom! I pulled that out of nowhere. Couldn't remember his name. So she gives it to somebody else, and that's the last person that we know who has it. Because Star Wars Rebels, the last season of it, happens the same year as the Death Star. So, anyway, time to wrap it up, I think. Do we have anything else?
We got PenguinCon coming up at the end of April. We have a group trip. There's 10 of us going to New Orleans. There's still time to get in on that shit.
Do you want to come? You want to come to New Orleans?
We still have room in one of our hotel rooms, so... Well, Airbnb rooms, so anywho.
Yeah.
I really appreciate and I'm loving on everyone coming.
Yeah, so, it's going to be really exciting. It's really exciting and it's going to be fun. I worked so hard reading menus for so long to find the place for your dinner birthday that had options for everybody. And it looks like a pretty...
Swanky.
Looks good, but it wasn't super expensive compared to a lot of the other places. Like, reasonably priced, but also kind of fancy, local, has vegetarian options. Like, I worked real hard. So I think that's going to be super fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll talk to you guys soon. And find us all of the places, interact with us at That More Thing, because that is the name of the podcast that you just listened to. You should find us online and talk to us. We love hearing from you. We love to talk to you. Unless you have anything bad to say, just keep that to yourself. I don't care what you have to say that's bad. Just say nice things.
Say bad things as long as you give us 5 stars.
Shit sandwich.
Yeah.
Give the shit sandwich. Be like, this was really great. This you need to work on. This was really great.
5 stars.
5 stars. 5 stars only. You could even, I guess if you were like 5 stars, you fucking suck.
That's fine. 5 stars. 5 stars.
5 stars, you fucking suck. Yes, that's it. You can also interact with us on Twitter. I am Maggie at Brain of Maggie.
I'm Shannon at Shannon's Party.
And this has been episode
221.
Fuck, I forgot to check. 221 of That More Thing with Shannon and Maggie.
Bye.
Bye.